PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes it.
Listen to his shit.
That's right. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso, episode 302. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Joining the Crespediso studio, I got your threat update. Current threat level is goldenrod. Current threat level color is goldenrod. Disintegration is bought and paid for. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host is Drew Stacogburn. Drew, how you doing, dude?
I'm pretty sure I threw down on that Kickstarter.
On the Disintegration Kickstarter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You helped crowdsource Disintegration?
Yep. Yes.
Good job.
It's been bought and paid for.
Has been bought and paid for.
So we're ready. We're just going to do it now.
Now's just time to roll it out.
Yeah.
Let's roll out the Disintegration, ladies and gentlemen. First time guest with us from Casual Shadows, as well as the mastermind behind Fort Fritz and many other things as well. Moon Men from Mars. Don't forget about that. The one and only Jeff Ilgen Fritz is here. Yes,
oh,
sir.
Oh, my God. You said my last name correctly.
I had to ask Steve Etchie about that. I was like, it's Ilgen Fritz, isn't it, buddy?
Good for him.
Yes, thank you, Steve. Steve, hopefully you join us for the second half of the show. Not here just yet. But, yes, welcome to the show. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for making me coffee.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Try to caffeinate.
I feel like a diva.
Our drug requests in this studio are not unreasonable. We have a few that we can supply, you know, from time to time. Absolutely. Is Jeff short for Jeffrey? Are you a Jeffrey?
It is, yeah. My name is Adam Jeffrey, and I go by Jeff just because, you know, I like Jeff better.
Sure.
Jeff Ilgen Fritz sounds better than Adam Ilgen Fritz. It's almost like Adam Ilgen Fritz.
Because you got the Jeff Ilgen Fritz.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
you
yeah,
got
yeah.
The double J.
Yeah. The J.
Yeah. Like Judd music. Remember Judd? That's from the 90s.
It's like a machine
gun. Terrible, don't worry about that.
Yeah, Judd.
We had a buddy who changed his name in college.
Yes, we did. From Josh to Isaac.
Oh, cool.
Because he liked the middle name better. Isaac is a better name.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. But
much better name.
But to do it at the age of like 19
well, that's
is kind of rough.
Well, it's easier to do something like that when you move somewhere new. Yeah. Say I move to a new city. I introduce myself to people. I say I'm tired of Christopher. So I want to go by my middle name, which is Alexander.
So, Alex.
So I introduce myself. Hey, everyone. I'm Lex. How's it going?
Lex.
I'm Lex.
Yeah, Lex.
Nice to meet you. I'm Lex. Well, and then down the road, people are like, oh, your name's Chris? Actually, my name's Chris, but my middle name is Alexander.
Yeah, I actually had to wait until high school ended because I was always Adam. So I was like, there's no way in hell after seventh grade you can pull that shit off.
Yes,
so it's
exactly,
like,
yeah.
Just wait until you graduate. And then as soon as I graduated, I'm like, all right, all you motherfuckers dead to me now.
Yes,
I'm Jeff.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to like,
the
you
death
know,
of Adam, the birth
yes.
of
the,
Jeff.
The death of Adam, the birth of... I'm pretty sure I read that Bible story.
Yeah, it was terrifying. It was scary as hell.
It was that and the Big Bang back to back. Crazy stories.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Son of a bitch.
Drew's real first name. Drew doesn't want anyone to know his real first name. Right? We're not going to blow that out here. No, people are going to have to dig for that one.
Yeah, I mean, you have to dig very hard.
Yeah, for the, Drewster is the middle name, Cogburn. You know,
don't have to dig very hard to figure out who I really am.
Eleanor Drewster Cogburn. I'll bleep that out.
Shannon Drewster.
Shannon Drew.
Yeah. Could be.
Actually, it's pretty good. Shannon Drewster.
The
SDC, that's what they call him, back in juvie.
Back in SRQ.
That's why you're
at juvie. Yeah. What was juvie called at SRQ?
I never went to juvenile hall. I don't know.
They just send you straight to adult penitentiary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Straight to jail.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Do not pass go. Go directly to jail.
Exactly.
Do not pick up $200.
I mean, I did teen court once.
Definitely no $200.
No, God, no.
Like a mock trial for school to learn how to the judicial system works?
No, as like a defendant.
Oh.
So,
Jesus, we're getting raw.
It's actually a really great story.
Take it away.
So I got arrested the first time, and I, instead of doing regular court, because I was 16 at the time, I got pretrial diversion, and then I was teen court,
because
it was my first offense.
Yeah.
So I went to a gifted school where most of the kids in my class went to teen court for like extracurricular activities. Like, so it looked good on their, you know, college resume, or they were interested in pursuing law later in life.
Right.
So they were getting experience, this, that, the other. So I show up and everybody like I know like 3/4 of the people there, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, "Hey, Drew, so what are you here for? Are you going to be on the? Are you going to be a judge? Are you going to be a lawyer?
Are you a bailiff?
Are you going to be you know sitting on the jury?" And I had everybody I said I was like, "Nah, I'm a defendant.
I'm actually like, here to defend my rights and my life to not go to prison.
And then,
I'm here to not go to jail.
Yeah, I'm here to fight for my life."
Actually, somebody, a girl who was in my same class at school mm-hmm. was my lawyer. So I was like, "Hey, Skylar, how's it going?" She's like, "What are you here for?" I was like, "I'm your next case.
I'm your you got to keep me out of teen jail.
What's up?" Yeah, one of my friends was had to recuse himself as judge because he knew me. So
wow.
So I had to get a different judge.
This must be a small town.
Well, no, not
necessarily.
It wasn't a small town. It's just I went to a small gifted school where a lot of the extracurricular, like the smarty smarts, like 4 or 5 kids in my graduating class got perfect scores in the SAT. Mm. So, like, these kids were smart and they were motivated, so they did stuff like teen court.
And it was Sarasota, so they had the monies to back them up to help them with
exactly, yeah. Lots of white privilege.
Mm. Oh,
as much as you love it, Chris.
So,
yes.
I'm so jealous of that. It's so wonderful, that white privilege. I had to grasp at affirmative action. Like, help! Help me! Man, it was a good story. That was fun. So
you're not in jail.
Yeah.
No, I got...
We need a verdict.
I got... I mean, I think I'm pretty sure the first of many pleads of no contest.
Okay.
Nolo contendere. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Where I'm not saying that I did it, but I'm saying
this.
You could probably prove that I did.
Yeah.
Without saying anything else, I'm just going to go, "You got me."
Yeah exactly.
I'm just going to be like, "Can we just get this over?"
Yeah,
over
please.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
with minimal pain.
So yeah, I pled no contest, and I got community service, and I did my community service, and then...
Picking up trash inside the road. I
was on probation,
kitchen.
No, Goodwill. I did a lot of stuff at Goodwill.
Goodwill
is a good place to do community service.
Yeah, sure. You get first pick of all the
exactly that too. Also, I did
all the trash.
I did a bunch of community service at Moat Marine Laboratory. So like I ran their shark show for a while. I fed some fish for a while.
Wait, what? You ran a shark show for your community service? Mm-hmm. The height of white privilege.
Yeah, no. Because all I had to do was walk in, and like there was a list, like basically a script that I had to say or memorize.
Yeah,
it was like a paragraph.
Yeah.
So
it's like working at SeaWorld.
So yeah, exactly. You sit there and you wait, and a bunch of people line up, and you're like, "All right, let's start the show."
And
you
you're
walk
like
in,
the wonderful
blah 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 blah.
You're all like,
I don't even remember the spiel.
You're like the wonderful world of sharks.
Exactly.
Sharks,
I only did it for like a week. But then and you press a button and the lights dim and a thing plays and you're like, "Okay, blah 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 blah. Thanks for being here." Yada,
that's
yada.
Hysterical.
I also spent a lot of time in a back room watching TV and peeling shrimp.
Oh, nice.
For
peeling shrimp
for the fish food. Yeah.
That's a little more proper for community service. Get your hands dirty with shrimp and get gross.
Nobody wants to do this.
Yes, exactly.
Little did I know that would be great experience for my future endeavors in the culinary world.
For actually working in seafood restaurants.
Yeah, I knew how to peel shrimp already.
Beluga, big fin.
Actually, yeah, but like beluga whale. No.
Oh, no, cheek
to AAA, you got it, boss.
He's an expert at chopping up a beluga whale. That was the first thing he did a beluga, right?
No.
First thing they taught you?
Nope.
Was how to cut beluga whales?
Nope.
And serve them?
Nope.
No?
No.
And you can eat their fat raw. Because it tastes like their tears.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's delicious.
And beluga tears are the best.
Yeah.
The absolute best. Have you ever had a beluga tear martini?
Yes. And also very highly intelligent creatures.
Yeah.
I think that's all that.
That's how you can taste it in the tears.
Very intelligent.
You can taste the sadness.
You can taste the sadness. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Because the tears of sadness and tears of pain have different chemical compositions.
Yeah, that's right.
So you want the sad tears, not the pain tears.
That's right. Cheeks taste so good.
Yes, because they absorb the sadness.
That's a throwback to Man Daddy. Shout out.
Everyone just knows cheeks are delicious.
Yes, they're great.
Pig cheeks.
And eyeballs.
I don't know about them ears, though.
Fuck ears.
If they're done right.
If they're done right, yeah.
I've had like crispy pig ears that are, it's almost like a chicharrone, almost.
Okay, I can get with that.
Because it's just like crispy skin.
It's a cartilage and stuff in there. But then you might get some hairs, or is that the hoof where you get some hairs?
Well, no, I mean, if you're doing pig skin in general, if it's not cleaned properly, it is a mammal.
Yeah, you gotta shave your pigs.
Yeah, shave the pig. But nair it. Nair that pig. That's I want all my pigs in there before I butcher them. That's how I do it anyway. On my back on my pig farm, the old family Crespo pig farm back in Ohio. That, you know, that's how we nair the pigs and then we run them through the witch.
Diesel.
Pig farm diesel is what we do.
Anybody in the Pooligoon? You know about the Pooligoons, right?
You know the old saying, Drew. If you're not the one throwing people into the Pooligoon, you are the one thrown into the Pooligoon.
You know about the problems with the Pooligoons, right?
Yeah, how it's like highly toxic and all the runoff going into like local rivers and streams and, yeah. and toxifying because fields well, and no, stuff. Because
killing the planet. I mean, I can because go on.
Destroying everything. Well, no, yeah.
I mean, they are.
It's a bummer. It's a
animal
bummer.
Husbandry is a real threat.
It's a real bummer.
North Carolina already had a problem with just like getting rid of the pace, and then when floods through, it literally flooded the Pool Lagoons, and now the Pool Lagoons have spread like statewide, like it's everywhere.
Awesome. That's just so I'm so happy that we can do this to our own planet. It's the way we live.
Now this pig poo just like everywhere.
That's good. The thing with pig poo is that it also can be resold as fertilizer, right? So let's just say we fertilize Alabama.
Anything that is vegan, so even actual vegans can poop into a bag and sell it.
There you go. Yes. So, so rub all that vegan fertilizer all over the place, mm-hmm. and then sell the product. Right.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk movies, beginning with Drewster Cogburn. Let's start with the Robert Redford movie that we saw.
Yeah. Old Man and the Gun.
Old Man and the Gun. You put up on the IMDb. Do you have it there?
IMDb, I also got the Rotten Tomatoes and the box office.
So it's Robert Redford as a bank robber.
Yep.
Working with a small part, but working with Danny Glover.
Uh-huh.
And that was Tom Waits, right?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
Old Tom Waits is
I love him.
He's like, oh, we're going around some banks. My bones hurt.
My bones hurt.
That's what he says. Yeah, he actually uses that. That's the actual line from the
actual
movie.
Actual line of the movie. My bones hurt. As he drinks a beer.
Yeah.
They are bank robbers, and they're very cool, gentlemanly bank robbers, where he just walks in, shows them a gun. He's like, all right, let's just fill up this bag. We can get out. Your whole thing takes place in 1981.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he meets a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Sissy Spacek?
Yes, it is.
And she's a widow. It turns out later, is a widower. So half the movie is about him robbing banks, and Casey Affleck's depressed cop character
is chasing them down,
trying to figure out who the over the hill gang is.
And actually, Casey Affleck?
Casey Affleck, yes, who has in the last 7 years trafficked exclusively in sad sack characters.
Pretty much.
All he does is play like
people that are kind of depressed.
Disheveled characters who need to shave and have too much hair.
He won last year, didn't he?
2 years ago.
Two years ago.
For Manchester by the Sea. Yeah. A very depressed character.
Oh, God. Wow. That movie was fucking depressing.
So this is the same character moves to Texas and is a cop.
And has two kids this time.
And now it's
But none of the kids are dead.
No, this time the kids are alive.
Yeah.
The only source of joy he has is his family.
Well, I mean,
beautiful, the most beautiful family in the world.
Kids who have,
that's fair.
To assume that we do not know that.
We don't get into their backstory. No. That's fair. Yeah. No. It could literally be the same guy moved from travel. So it's and the other half is
Robert Redford and Sissy Spacek.
What's her name?
Jewel,
that's right. They make a bit of. I found it to be a very nice old fashioned movie.
It is very much Robert Redford being Rob, like just. Old man Robert Redford.
Star cosmetic surgeon. Yeah. And still very has that that look to him. Absolutely.
And I mean, he even says that he's just like, you know, sometimes all you gotta do is put on a suit, be charming, and see where it takes you. And I was like, that's really like his entire career.
That's been his career.
just showing up for work early sometimes.
Yeah. Just showing up looking good, showing up early, and then people are like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing.
Sitting on a chair backward, drinking.
Oh, that's how you know someone's cool.
Yes.
Like, this is definitely almost like an homage to him because they, like, as the character, at one point in time, they go through all of
his
escapes,
yeah.
And they just straight up show clips of his old movies, like him being a prisoner or something, and just call it this day, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They tied it into the movie.
Yeah, I do feel like they showed a clip from, like, The Great Escape or Papillon I was like, is this just straight up?
Yes, it is. It is. But it worked.
And then, so then they do show pictures of, like, young Robert.
So it was an homage to his career?
In a way, an homage to Redford. Like,
well,
and
I know how he does things
as a celeb.
It was kind of strange like that.
But it's also, as the movie points out, based on a true. As Drew alluded to, he has a history of escaping.
Yes, escaping prison.
Escaping prison. Which is, that's a small part of this movie, though, because it's really about this one that he goes through as an, as in the,
when he's 70.
A 70-year-old man, pretty much. And, man, yeah, it was... It's just like an old-fashioned, well-made movie, you know? It's just good stuff.
Yeah. Was it okay? Could have been better? Could have been worse?
You know, for what it was... I think
it was perfectly fine.
I was about to say, yeah. I mean, it was a quick 90 minutes. It did its thing. It told its story. It told it well. And I mean, if you're a fan of anything that Robert Redford has ever done, this is just... It's more of the magic.
100%. I think it's worth checking out. Maybe not necessarily run into a movie theater.
Yeah.
But it is worth seeing for sure. The Old Man... And the gun.
Can you think of another movie that has done that? Like they take one story that is the
story of one person.
Well, the
yeah, I mean, like cut in like in the last, you know, who like
Harrison Ford getting tricked by you know, magician
like,
guy.
Has there entered like the new Christopher Walken movie? Are they going to allude to his past as other characters
or like Deer
but
Hunter?
Make them different characters.
I feel like yes. I feel like. It's, why can't I think of one? I feel like
that's gotta been done before, right?
I feel like there's an example on the tip of my brain of something where they purposefully use like photos of the actor as a younger person, and then it obviously then alludes to their real life. Okay. Steve, give me a 1-2, buddy.
1-2.
All right, Steve Etchie is here, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
Yay!
He made it. How you doing, Steve?
Good. I mean, kind of good. You didn't do an applause, but you know.
Oh no! All that's gone, man.
Yeah, it's all gone. No more soundboard. None of that nonsense.
I have this one.
He's got this thing that he keeps pressing for whatever reason.
Spooky.
I like the idea that he's going to use that, and then when Halloween's over, he's just going to toss it in the trash.
No. He'll just still be using it in January.
No. That's for Simon Time Trivia Show. That's a Simon Time Trivia Show soundboard is what that is.
Okay, is that for it's my favorite segment. The
Name that tomb. Name that tomb. All right, shout out to Simon Time. All right, Steve, you made it just in time for our spoiler-free review of Halloween.
Oh, Halloween.
The
that's one of my favorites.
Oh, man.
The original.
No, the original one, yes. Original is a classic for a reason.
2018 version.
It's the 2018 version.
80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Man, that's a lot of moolahs.
Made $77 million.
80%. And keep in mind, too, that is a horror movie.
Yes.
Well, see, that's just it, though.
With a history of poorly reviewed Halloween sequels. Yes. And remakes. And yes.
Or even originals. I mean, horror movies just with critics are just...
Well, here's the
abysmal.
Thing.
Yes.
They
Saul has a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's my 100%.
And it's like
if it's 38%, I'm like, that's still pretty good.
There you go. Right?
Because that first Saul was fucking iconic and it was great.
Amazing.
And everyone hated it.
Obviously, it built, what, 7 sequels? It's such a great
into
idea.
Into the goddamn ground.
It launched James Wan's career. Yep. Then he did the Conjuring movies, and I was doing Aquaman. That was such like a seismic shift at the time.
Yeah. You know how they came up with that movie, right? Like how they came up with the writing-wise?
Like an old kind of movie idea? Like one scene kind of thing?
No, since they had so little money, because, you know, I mean, they could only get Danny Glover.
Yeah.
and Carrie Elwes.
Huh? Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously he's not expensive, but
yeah. Well, exactly.
He's someone.
He's a face.
Yeah, he's someone.
It's the cheap way of, you know,
He's a Dread Pirate Robert.
But basically, since they didn't have much money, they started it out with, okay, let's create a room, which, you know, of course that's where they were tied up and stuff.
Yeah.
And like have as much of it as possible take place in that room because now you only have one set and there's no permit and you like all this shit. Yep. So they didn't even have a plot yet. They like went when they did the writing from what can happen in this room.
Hmm.
That's how it started.
They worked that's and great. Now when they want to make a horror movie, right? They work backwards.
They knew they
there.
Wanted to do a horror movie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a very, very smart way to do it. James Wan. I think it's part co-Australian production.
I think it is too.
Yeah, which is pretty wild.
Which means it's probably cheaper.
Absolutely, yeah.
To go to
Australian dollars. Hey, all right.
Fly halfway around the world.
These dollars cost less than your dollars because they're from down under. shout out to Australian Santa. All right, so we saw Halloween.
Yeah.
Made a ton of money. It's like the second biggest October opening weekend ever, I think.
Because of Venom and also Venom just A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born. Those movies are still like making money though. A lot of people, October is turned out to be a big month for, box office dollars.
Right now Venom's made $171 million, but its budget
is
$100 million. Halloween has made $77 million, but its budget was only
$10 million.
A tenth of that.
That's the other great thing about horror movies. They are cheap.
They can be very, very cheap. It's hard. It's very rare to get a big budget horror movie, as a matter of
but
fact.
But it's enough that you can just make a good movie on a cheap budget
Absolutely. 100%. Co-written by Danny McBride and David Gordon Green and a third person.
Danny McBride?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And you can tell by the comedic elements in the movie, like it's straight up those guys.
It's quite a funny film, yeah. And Drew said this on our spoiler episode. There are a couple scenes that felt like they could have been in Eastbound and Down.
Like straight up.
Just the dialogue and the way they're talking. Yeah. There's the father character in the movie, Laurie Strode's like son-in-law, that totally could have been Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Every line out of that dude's mouth is like, oh, that's Danny McBride.
There's a scene with two cops. Easily one of them could have been Danny
McBride.
Very easily.
It's so funny. Danny McBride and anyone else. Yeah. It's a very funny movie at times, which is good.
But
because the rest of the time...
It's so tense and bloody and...
Violent.
So it's a good break.
So violent.
Oh, my God.
The breaks.
You need the little punctuations to break. Just so you go...
Yeah. I mean, pretty much every horror movie has that kind of comedic levity to it.
Not all of them. The ones that are missing that then end up becoming like, oh, this Slog is like fests. Too much. Yeah. I need a break.
I guess there's really no laugh out loud moments in Saw.
Not unless you find like the gore so over the top. Oh my god, that's absurd. Which is a reasonable reaction to horror. You know, to laugh at it's also
when
very
it's
reasonable.
Extreme. Yeah,
yeah.
Look, he's completely given up on life. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this guy's crying because he knows he'll never see his family again. That's hysterical.
Yeah, I remember the scene with the razor wire where he's like caught up in it. You know,
and
it's,
he's
dripping and stuff. And I remember thinking like, is that fat? He's losing weight, you guys.
You got to joke about it, or else you'll cry. His felt levels are increasing at the moment. Halloween, we saw it in a full theater.
Yeah.
And that was fun because, like, all the scares and stuff, all the people.
You got to hear all the reactions.
You could feel the tension in the room. And then whenever Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, whenever she did something great, the women were going straight up cheered in the theater and clapped. Like girl power type stuff. You could feel it. It was awesome, actually. It was a lot of fun to see this in a theater full of people.
Cool.
And man, the score.
Score's great.
John Carpenter score.
Man. I was going to say, yeah.
It's so good. John Carpenter? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He came back for a score. He exec produced it and he gave them advice.
How old is he now?
60, late 60s?
Really? 90.
Yeah. I was going to say, I expected more.
70s? 192. 192.
He's 197 years old. He's an older gentleman, yeah, and all he likes to do is play video games, smoke weed, and watch basketball. That's all he wants to do.
And also create music.
He's still very much into creating music.
Which is awesome because he made a great score for Halloween.
Yes.
And, man, it is. I think it's a really super solid direct sequel to the first movie.
I was about to say, it's just an updated Halloween score. It's all it is.
Well, the whole movie itself just feels like an updated Halloween. And it is. Really cool. Really good, you know? Because we've seen so many movies now where the aesthetics are aping John Carpenter. Movies like It Follows.
Yeah. Oh, God, what a great movie.
Yeah, I love it. I love it very so much. Great. And the score, all that stuff. But it is everyone just being like, this is our version of a John Carpenter movie. Yeah.
It seems like a futuristic past movie. You know? Yes. Like, they've got that one gadget in hand, but everything else, it's 70s cars.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is 1982, but they have cell phones. Yeah. I thought that was very cool.
You know what? Have you seen Maniac?
No, because it started off really, really great reviews, and then now all of my friends are like, eh.
Interesting. I've heard almost exclusively good stuff.
I almost stopped watching it because it's kind of really bleak in the first two episodes. So sure. I'm like, this is just depressing, but I got stuck through it. It is absolutely amazing.
Wow.
But they have cars from different, from the same era that's retro. But they have this, but there's no way. You're like, when is this happening?
I think
they even mention when it is, so that like it's even more confusing because it's like, okay, I know exactly where we are in the timeline. Why is everything weird? Mm-hmm. But
interesting,
you come to accept it,
yeah,
and it becomes an, just an interesting difference.
It just becomes the aesthetic of the show.
Of the yeah,
I got to get on that show.
It's like great. It's in the year 19 and Badu. What does that mean?
It's parallel universe.
Like I love 19 Erykah Badu. Yeah.
Like it all makes sense, but it doesn't. That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to with it's like your world, but it's not. And then they show like a Coca-Cola ad,
but it's
but
nice.
But it's like Cola, spelled with a K, and so it's like the same but different.
Exactly.
They do the same thing. It's one of the untalked about things about the show Atlanta. Atlanta is in a parallel universe. That's not our world. It looks like ours, but it's not. So Justin Bieber is black.
Yeah.
They have nice. They're discontinuing the Harriet Tubman $20 bills, and they're replacing Harriet Tubman with someone else.
Yeah.
There's little all hints
with like Barack Obama or someone. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't say it. They're just like someone's getting paid. It's like, here, take these Harriet Tubmans before they discontinue them, or nice. I still got some left or whatever. And
I love when great storytelling leaves some things off of the table.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like it just is what it is. And we're not going to over-explain it, you know. So it seems like the Spider-Man movie is doing that. Yeah. But anyways, it was a lot of fun when we did our spoiler-filled review. We had a lot of fun talking about it.
Jamie Lee Curtis kills it. Michael Myers so good. Kills it. Michael over Myers and over literally and over
kills
again.
The kills, man.
Oh, some of them are fucking brutal.
There's like some really epic
like gore
stuff
porn
in this.
Or
not to Saw hostile levels.
They definitely leave some to the imagination.
Oh, times here and
there. Definitely. Like there are some times where the action happens off scene. All you see is the aftermath.
You see the aftermath.
Nice.
Yeah, you see the
like
dismemberment.
Like classic horror.
Yeah.
Classic slasher.
They know what
or
they're
classic
doing.
Classic Criminal Minds.
But yeah, then
all of it.
But yeah. But it's still there are still some things so where you're like, whoa, that's gnarly looking.
Yeah, definitely.
There's one head stomping that's like the wettest.
It's like a wet watermelon just goes pop.
Yeah. The wettest, jello-iest head stomping. Yeah.
It's like someone is punching the fuck out of the Uber.
This month.
That is what that means.
Strictly vegan. That's not going
to happen. I was bringing it to my vegan book club. We were gonna review Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. We're reading that.
Oh, nice.
and then we were going to eat. Oh, no. Con carne means with beef.
No. Foiled again, Chris.
No es bueno. So we're saying people go see Halloween.
Oh, yeah. That's and right. Rotten Tomatoes agrees with us.
And Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. Everyone seems to agree.
Well, it's great.
That's very cool. So now, actually, we kind of sort of talked about it a little bit. Let's end the first half with the what you're watching. So, Steve, you've been watching Maniac?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been digging that one. You can recommend people check it out?
Well, actually, I haven't been watching it. Hold on.
You
already finished
seen
watching that one.
Okay.
The Good Place.
Oh, yeah, Ted Danson.
We've been talking about that as well.
With Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually, there's one episode out that I haven't seen yet, but I'm rewatching the whole thing because my mom hasn't seen it, and I hooked her. So I'm like literally watching the whole thing again.
That's cool.
But it won't take long before we catch up because like we end up watching, like we binge it.
Because it's 30-minute episodes, right?
Yeah. And it's just so easy to just really quickly go through everything. And it's one of those shows that Hulu has that, you know, it comes out like it shows up on TV every Thursday.
Yes.
Hulu has that episode by Friday.
Well, there you go.
Because the networks own Hulu. So, So it is their rerun service, which is
nice. It's reruns on demand.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's on demand too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But like you said, the new episode, it comes out on Wednesday, then the new one, boom, is for sure going to be ready on Thursday. Yeah, that's very cool.
Thursday to Friday.
So you recommend A Good Place.
Oh my God, so good.
All right, well, cool. Maybe, you know, I've heard. I'll be honest. I've only heard good things about it.
And if
I have a prejudice towards network television, much like I have a prejudice towards white men, in which I'm like, you know, most
you're
of it,
surrounded
like,
by right
like,
now, Chris.
I'm surrounded by network TV. Most of it is trash, but some of it's good.
Yeah, I mean,
most of it means well. Some of it's good.
I just think it's funny that right now you're currently surrounded by three white men.
I know, and you guys are the loveliest white men I've met all day. You
hey,
guys
how
are
dare you assume my gender? Okay?
Oh, you know what? That's not fair. I'm sorry. You don't look very Mediterranean.
No, I don't. No, not at all. No. Very Western
Ilgen
European.
Fritz,
are you Western European? Not even Eastern European.
Sounds very European.
Ilgen Fritz.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then no, that's the first name. I knew a gentleman in high school named Fritz Pierre.
Oh, Fritz Pierre. Yeah, the
I know
comedian.
Fritz Pierre.
No, not Fritz Pierre. Fritz is a comedian who lives here.
Yeah.
Fritz Garcia.
Ooh.
You can see why I made the mistake. Uh-huh. You can see why I made the mistake.
So
Fritz
what is
Garcia.
He? Is he from?
Take a guess.
Argentina.
No. Anyone else want to take a guess?
Colombia.
No.
Chile.
No. See, I had two guesses. Guess?
Paris, Brazil.
No. Paris, Brazil. You guys all went South America. Southeast Asia, Filipino.
What?
Fritz Beer. His father was German.
I was about to
Mother
say.
Mother was Filipino. The other way.
I was just trying to think. I'm like Garcia and Fritz. I'm like German plus Hispanic. So I went immediately Argentina.
Filipino because very strong Hispanic presence in the Philippines. So there we go. Shout out to Fritz Garcia. I wonder if he's alive.
What up, dog?
Who knows?
Very, very nice dude. The first person I knew, honestly, he was like, I realized this later after the fact. He definitely is autistic of some sort.
Nah.
Because we were like, this guy's a weirdo. He wasn't a weirdo. He was just autistic.
Nope.
So after the fact, I feel bad. You know, it's like, oh, he was just on the spectrum, the nice guy. Why were we so mean to him?
Because you are human.
Because we were a bunch of...
you're garbage.
Bunch of normative jerks is what we were.
Like, get out of here, slug.
This guy's on our wave, not on our wavelength. We gotta...
You are garbage. Achievement.
Actually, we let him sit with us at lunch.
You know, looking back on it, Slug was all right, man.
He sat with us at lunch and we talked to him. No, Slugs are cool. Slugs get denigrated all the time. Why? Because they're slimy. Slugs are cool. Yeah. All they do is leave a trail. You know,
if they were called squirrels, we would say, if Slugs, stop in a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And if Slugs had furry tails, then maybe we'd be nicer to them. Like squirrels.
Just like rats.
If squirrels didn't have furry tails.
No, if Slugs had squirrel tails, I would immediately assume that it's like one of those like caterpillars that are hairy that like if you touch them, like
you'll die within a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd immediately
super poisonous.
Only in this case, like a day.
Yep. Sure. Yeah. Don't touch the furry bugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be like, okay, I can't.
Steve Etchie's advice on a week. Don't touch the furry bugs.
I can't squish them without like steel toed boots or something. They got to be far from away from my foot.
Also, good idea too. Always wear steel-toed boots when you seek to destroy nature.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's a Werner Herzog recommendation.
Werner Herzog,
love that man.
Fritz, what you watching, buddy?
So I recently watched "I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House" on Netflix.
I am the pretty thing that lives in the house.
Yes,
it's got to be an adaptation of a book.
It was
have a title that long.
It was actually written and directed by Oscar Perkins.
Okay.
And his father, Anthony Perkins.
Oh. Hey, Anthony Perkins. Yes.
Anthony Perkins, who was the original Norman Bates.
Yeah. Psycho. Interesting.
And it is a Netflix movie.
Okay.
The trailer is absolutely captivating.
So that's why I was gonna ask you, why this movie, why'd you watch it? Did the trailer just start auto playing and it suck you in?
Yep. This not necessarily, but I was just looking up horror movies.
Okay.
And that came up. I would
oh
not,
so you, but you is, saw the trailer though.
Yes.
Okay.
It is not a horror movie, it's not a
sounds
thriller,
like it.
Even it is a straight up suspense. Straight up suspense.
Like
very slow paced,
slow burn suspense.
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful DP, whoever shot it,
mm-hmm.
has an amazing vision every shot. There was one shot actually that comes in around 18 minute mark. It's just this beautiful round bay window.
Yeah.
And the lead actress walks up, and I can't for the life of me think of what her name is, but she plays Lily, and she just, her face is very small.
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive window, and then she just kind of walks up, and it's just perfectly framed.
Yeah.
As the background just kind of blurs. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just one of those, as you're watching for a long time, and there's these unsettling moments where she is walking, and she's this scaredy cat, mm-hmm. and she's, like, smacking her, like, hand constantly going, oh, you be, and it's really endearing.
Yeah.
So, Bob Balaban is the only male in the entire movie.
Bob Balaban's great.
Yep. And it's her, Lucy Boynton, and the elderly person who owns the house. Her last name is Prentice. She actually worked with Anthony Perkins back in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
And so Oscar Perkins knew that she was the only person to play Iris Blum, who was this old author from the 60s.
Okay.
So the main character is hired to be Iris Blum's hospice nurse. Throughout an hour and 40-minute movie, you get to understand the plot. There was a murder in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The writing, oh my God, the writing is fucking perfect. Like, just watch the first 5 minutes, and if you don't fall in love with what's being said,
yeah.
then you don't, it's
because,
not the movie for you.
Because that's okay. going to be, it's representative of yes. the rest of the movie. No.
Okay. It's absolutely fantastic. One line, she was like, even then... And I could feel a death around me.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear its shifting barefoot weight, like 1 foot at a time, and I was like, oh, god damn. Wow. And then at the very end, I was like, okay, this is going nowhere. And then the last scene, I look over, my wife is squirming. And then it ends, and I was like, we were just like, bravo and brava. It is a female-centric cast. It's fucking great.
And it stuck the landing. That's important with a movie like
that.
Yeah. If you're really building up to something, it's a real bummer when it fails you at the end.
The best part of the movie, I think, is that it is an homage hat tip bow to the 60s suspense movies.
Those are the best.
How it starts, like, it's you know, again, fraught with tension.
Yeah.
It's almost paralyzing. And then when that intro ends, you just hear a, and at the top, you just see, I'm the pretty thing that lives in the house. And then at the bottom, the like MMX1, you know, the year, XIV, yeah. Just like how they did back in the
60s. Yeah, sure.
And
then
it just is a slow 5 second fade into the next scene. And there's many times like that where like, it's just, there's silence and people are just staring at one another with like pained, horrified expressions. They 5 second fade into the next scene happens. You're like, man, this movie is going to be brutal. This movie is going to be fucking brutal.
The way you describe that intro reminds me of how The Conjuring opened up with the super slow credits crawling up the screen, and then included, like you said, the old school copyright. Here's the year in Roman numerals, and it's like, it's a deliberate callback to The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby, and trying to put you in the headspace for that type of 70s horror. Which even then is like Rosemary's Baby. I mean, it's a horror movie. What do you want to call it? Horror?
Suspense.
So that sounds like what you're describing here.
Absolutely. I will say
which I'm into. That sounds great.
The strongest attribute about I'm the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House is its pacing.
Okay.
I
love slower paced movies too.
The Achilles.
So do I.
Yeah.
They don't make enough of them.
They don't.
The Achilles heel, however, is the pacing, and it is not for everyone.
So it's the strength and the weakness of
it. Yeah, so I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 60%, and it's just, it's one of those, like, put it on and fucking watch it.
And you have to watch it. You can't have it on in the background.
You have to watch it, because then out of, like, it's a very quiet movie, and then at the end, you're just going to be like, what is happening?
None of this makes sense, because you weren't paying attention yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I am the pretty thing that lives in the house.
Yep.
Man, very exciting pick. Thank you.
Yeah, of
course. Thank you for letting us know. Yeah. Very awesome. All right.
Hashtag suspense, what up?
Hashtag suspense, what up? That's the whole hashtag. Suspense, what up? If you're into it, hashtag suspense, what up? Hit us up on Twitter.
With two Ds.
So we got Maniac in the Good Place, I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, and Drew and I already reviewed Halloween, Old Man, and the Gun. Watching anything specifically, Drew, these days?
I watched the first episode of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Prime.
And did it get you?
It's okay. Yeah. I mean,
it's really
3 of 5 kind of thing.
I mean, it reminds me.
I loved it.
I mean, it's definitely a Tom Clancy. Like, it's all the stuff. It's sure. It's your NCIS meets, your
CIA intrigue type stuff.
Blah, blah, blah. Meets your this, your that, your whatever.
I'm just an analyst.
No, not anymore. But anyway, I mean, it's fine. John Krasinski is doing his thing. I'm actually believing him in a manly role without facial hair.
The beard.
Yeah. Without the facial hair. So good for him.
He had to do a couple with the beard first.
He's got to
gym himself.
Exactly. So, I mean, I watched the first episode and the first half of the second episode before I got distracted doing something else.
Wait, that's all you've seen so far?
Yeah.
Your ass going.
I mean, I'm
going
to keep watching it. It's going to be something to watch, something new.
Oh, you'll love it. So like, it gets better and better.
Well,
All right. Well, it's just called Jack Ryan, right?
Yeah. Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
And then they're also working on, we'll talk about this, actually, I think, briefly. This
Prime segment. Original Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
There's another Tom Clancy movie being developed. Not Jack Ryan, but another character that pops up in that series. Name like John Clark. Seriously, another super bland name.
John Chris.
But they're all just copying James Bond.
Yeah.
Ian Fleming says the reason why he picked James Bond is because he was trying to think of the blandest name he could for his, like, purposefully for his hero.
Yeah.
And then James Bond ends up being iconically, like,
and classy.
Such an amazing name that no one would dare name anyone Bond without fear of trying to think, oh, yeah, related to. All right, very cool, guys. Okay, guys, let's take a break here. We have some things here for a second half. Preview for the second half. We got a no emails, that's fine, but we do have movie news, a couple of stories to talk about. And then Billy D's Death at the Movies has evolved. So Billy D's Death at the Movies 2.0. I hope you guys are going to be ready for that. Drew, it's exciting. You don't have to read any more Billy D emails.
No.
But
I kind of enjoyed reading things in Billy's cadence.
In his voice, trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But now we'll.
Well, just in his cadence, not in his voice.
Now we'll get to figure out his cadence.
That's not what I said. I said cadence.
That's not cadence, not voice. There's a difference.
That's my bad. I was using voice in the not the literal term anyway. And then we'll finish the second half of the game. So let's take this break here, and we'll be back with the second half.
All right.
We are back, episode 302, second half of the show. Here we go. Plugs, Drew, people online, where are you?
You can find me on interwebs at antihero419 on Facebook and the Instagrams. Even though it's not me, I still recommend you follow at Drewster Cogburn on Twitter.
Yes.
It's run by somebody else, but man, it's better. It's They're better at Twitter than I ever
they
was.
They are better at Twitter than you. So at Drewster Cogburn on Twitter, but it's not actually
But it's not
Drew.
Me.
Yeah,
but, it's not me,
but it's a better account.
But it is. It's a better account than I ever had.
Steve, yeah. Can people find you?
You just Google Etchy, all my stuff comes up.
Yeah.
Also, I do have one
Etchy comes right up.
I have one thing. On November 23rd, we have Hurricane Bill on Mills. This is the second annual now. It's the benefit for suicide prevention and mental health awareness.
Okay.
Do you guys remember back when Larry from Ravenous Pig, he made
that, wasn't it a sour? Did he make?
It's a Hurricane Bill IPA, but it has sour
notes. It was an IPA. Okay.
It does have a little bit of sour notes to it. It's sweet. It's delicious. Mm. Anyway, he is making a whole shit ton of it for this event, and it is free.
Nice.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, and the bands are Grave Return. That's the last band that Bill played with.
Mm-hmm. Before Eat the Elderly?
Well, no, I mean like...
Oh, it's Eat the Elderly Evolved?
His last show.
Oh, I understand.
So he's not in it. I realized as soon as I said that, I was like, that's confusing.
Yeah, okay.
There's an Eat the Elderly reunion.
Cool.
Which there was last time. I don't know how they're doing it, but last time, like, people that were close to Bill would actually come up and sing the songs.
I remember it.
And Tracy Blades and the Born Losers. Tracy Blades was in Eat the Elderly and one of his best friends.
Yep.
And 69 Fingers.
Cool. It's Steve's band.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was November 23rd.
November 23rd. Hurricane Bill on Mills. Hurricane Bill on Mills. That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah, dog.
Looking forward to that. So that's what, the day after Thanksgiving? Or the day before?
When is Thanksgiving?
It's always a Thursday.
It's it's on a... Damn it.
I'm looking it up right
Fuck.
Now.
Everybody, open up your...
No, I got, my calendar right here.
Everybody, calendars.
So yeah, that's Black Friday.
Yep.
Son of Hurricane Bill on Mills is Black Friday.
That's
great. Yeah.
That's fine. Go shopping and then go hang out.
Go buy a TV for cheap and then go drink some Hurricane Bill.
Well, if you want to buy a TV, you got to wait for Super Bowl. That's when the TVs are super cheap.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But then you return it after the Super Bowl and you get your money back.
Actually, you know what? We did an episode of State of the Beer Union, and I remember, I don't think we were recording at the time, but they were talking about Hurricane Bill. They're like, oh yeah, we're going to have some Hurricane Bills. And I was like, is this like eating Jesus?
Yes, it is.
Consecrated Hurricane Bill.
Way better than wafers.
So much better than wafers. Oh.
Hurricane Bill Ambrosia.
He's our modern Jesus, Hurricane Bill.
You know what?
He died for our sins.
Yep.
He did die for our sins. Shout outs to Bill. Cheers to Bill. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to Bill. Cheers. Cheers. All right.
Yeah.
He was a good man. Beautiful man.
Mm. Loved him so much. And then, of course, so you mentioned State of the Beer Union.
Yes.
People can listen to that. Hosted by Ed and Leslie. And you're the layman man over there. Which is really funny. They have to explain, Drew. They have to explain the most basic stuff to Steve sometimes.
I mean, that would be like, I mean, but I know
Steve drinks so much beer. He loves beer. You're open to beer. You want to do different flavors and stuff with him.
I mean, like, it's the opposite of food. Even when I'm like, I don't really care for this beer, I'll still drink all of it.
But I mean, I don't. Yeah. I know a little bit about beer, but not. I mean, not that much.
Fair enough. I guess he represents us on the show. He's our fellow layman man. Then, of course, what's the fuss with Rocky and Rye?
Yes,
one of the flagship original OG PFT. T-shirt.
Oh, that is, right? That is?
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, it's proto-PFT, because it's Pfft Radio. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
so
that's right.
It's What's the Fuss and Tidbits are like the proto-shows.
Yeah. Oh, Tidbits.
Yeah, Tidbits, which is still a thing.
Still running.
Yeah, of course. When Steve has the time to put together an episode and put it out. What was the last one? The New York visit?
With
Nick from Get Rad Records?
That was 4 weeks ago.
Was it already 4 weeks?
Yeah. Time flies, which buddy. Sounds horrible, but you gotta say that, like, you know, the it usually comes out like every other week, so...
That's true.
Only missed one episode.
Yeah, that's true. Right. You can still,
but it sounds terrible.
You still get right back on track with Tidbits.
Doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Four weeks ago?
Well, like, you don't want to cheapen the product, right? You want to put out something that's like inspired.
And it's been around for...
Oh my God.
It's been around for a while, too. So fortunately, even though maybe you missed the show, people can go back and listen to so many old Tidbits. I recommend episode 3 of Tidbits, the original episode 3. Episode 1 is me talking about when I was on Doug Goes Movies. It's kind of a boring story. Episode 3 is Drewster Cogburn telling a story about a golf course.
Is that the golf course story? It's a great story.
It's the golf. You guys have heard some of his off-mic stories. Yes. This is one of his wilder on-mic stories.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure statute of limitations have gone. I mean, actually, the golf course is now defunct, so I'm not afraid.
So there's no one to press charges. Yeah, exactly. We're good to go. Yeah. All right.
It just goes back to a haunted Indian burial ground.
Well, you know, it's odd. It's almost like the entirety of America was built on some sort of ancient.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was doing donuts, he literally scraped a skull to pieces.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, that was a weird.
Yeah, and by the way, the weirdest thing about the podcast is sometimes you have to be like when he said episode when you said episode 3,
there's a restart.
There's two episode 3s.
There's a restart. Yeah.
Because I started the count over, but like I didn't, you know. So,
but you didn't.
Because there's Tidbits, and then there's Tidbits.
PFT, the
PFT Tidbits. The
only thing that I regret is that I had a slogan for PFFT, and I never. Well, you utilized it before we switched to PFT.
What was the slogan?
It was originally radio redefining indifference.
We can still use that. We can still use it. It's still pfft.
That's true. It's more
we
like,
just dropped one F to make it easier to share with people.
I really like it, actually.
Yeah, PFTRI.
RI.
Redefining indifference.
PFTRI. That's hashtag PFTRI.
Yeah.
Yeah. PFT Rhode Island.
You're just adding two other things.
Yeah. Now it's just like an air gun. It's just radio.
Tell you what, Steve. I'm doing a media tour tomorrow where I'm going to be on to a certain degree on WPRK and a corporate time on 104.1. So I'll try to bring that up. Redefining indifference.
Redefining indifference.
Hashtag
media. Redefining indifference. That'll be. I'll start promoting that tomorrow.
Well, speaking of which, when you mentioned Real Radio, I remember thinking when you're like, oh yeah, we have Fritz in. I was like, well, who's running Real Radio?
Okay, speaking of our guest.
I was trying to come up with like redefining indifference. I was like R-E-I-N. I was like rain. I was like R-E-I-N.
Rain difference.
We
could work that out somehow. Fritz.
Yes.
First, you have multiple podcasts. We had the Pink Man himself in here, Josh Fowler.
Yeah, he beat me in here.
I love him.
Second half of the taller half of Casual Shadows. Yeah.
First, like, I gotta, quite a bit. Holy crap!
I gotta say, love the logo, the Casual Shadows logo. It's similar to our new one, where I even told you, I was like, Josh, we're gonna do one that's similar to yours, where it's the neon.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite touch of yours, and I almost straight up was like, I want to steal this, but. Like, nah, I'm not going to steal this part of it. The established, the year, the business establishment, like since...
That was all Josh.
It's a genius move.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful logo. I love it.
I saw that.
Especially if you saw, like, established in 2017, you'd be like, why are they bragging about that?
Exactly. What were you saying, Drew?
I thought about using that font.
It's a good font, right? Yeah, it's a good font.
Ours is better.
We use a slightly different one because we paid the monies for it.
We
had to pay monies for our new font. We'll get you. Actually, there's stickers over there on the fridge, Steve. Can you hand Jeff right in front of Deadpool?
Yeah, wait, which ones?
The new ones, the our new logos. Oh, yeah, hand them a little stack of those. Yeah, yeah, that's our new logo,
give me
buddy.
Thousands.
There you go. There you go. We bought 1,000.
I so like it.
Now I'm trying to get rid of them.
Give them all.
That's the thing. Give them all away. God damn it.
It looks sexy.
Which reminds me, do you
we're
have,
going for
do
sexy,
have,
yes.
Do you have Fort Fritz classy stickers?
No. God, no.
No?
No.
No, we don't have anything that you can buy.
Oh, okay. Just for Fort Fritz or for either show?
For Fritz. Because I think you can buy something. No, I don't. For both.
Do you have stickers or anything for Casual Shadows or anything like that?
Yes.
Or,
stickers. Yeah. Josh has those. So,
Josh has them. I'd love to get some of those.
Yeah,
stickers.
Email josh@casualshadows.org.
Casualshadows.org.
That yeah sounds
feel,
made up.
I no, I don't think it is though.
I think we're missing something there.
Yeah, casual, I don't know.
Casual Shadows podcast.
Drew's gonna try to get that email.
Angelfire.net.
So listen to Casual Shadows.
GeoCities too.
GeoCities, yeah.
Drew's gonna go on Ask Jeeves to find out what the Stitcher Casual Shadows is.
That's the only way you find Angel Fire pages.
Either that or Alta Vista. Alta Vista has all the information.
Oh yeah, my god, Alta Vista.
Yeah, exactly.
Prodigy.
Oh man, don't get me started. Don't get me started on that Netscape, yo. I'll talk about Netscape all day. Casual Shadows. It's about 20 minutes per episode, right? Mm-hmm. Keep it short. Keep it tight. I like that. Not enough podcasts do that too with our show right here.
Yeah.
I'm constantly trying to cut this thing down, and then Fort Fritz is a much more produced show.
Which
I think it's very cool that people can check out. You're getting ready to do your season 2 finale, right?
Yep.
Go ahead and promote that.
Yeah, it's going to be Halloween night live, 11 p.m. Halloween night. And I say live because we are going to be in the studio cutting in at certain times.
Cool.
So it's going to be a produced live radio show.
Very cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome. I was going to say, if you like sound design, you have to listen to Fort Fritz.
No, it's great. I mean, they're like, hey, look.
I mean, you have to listen to it anyway because it's good in general, but like the sound design is incredible.
I mean, it's just taking podcasting to the next level. It's like old school radio, mm-hmm, calling back to Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, where it's like, Jeff's like, look, I got this map. And then you hear the sound of a map being the paper, you know. And it's great. It's fantastic.
And it's really not, well, here's the important part, though. Yes. It's not like they use, if they were like, oh, we need to, like a sound effect for unfolding a map. And like, they were like, oh, here's a file of crumpled up paper, that's good enough. No, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah, it sounds like the sound of paper unfolding. No, yeah, it's a well-produced show, Jeff. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Fort Fritz, and I'm assuming available pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah, yep. Everywhere.
This is my favorite show.
You know, I,
you got everything on iHeartMedia, right?
Yeah, iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio, excuse me.
I'm allowed to get away with that on air, which is, you know, obviously something that's a pro for working, you know, for a, you know,
yeah, because you work at your radio. Yeah, yeah, yeah. WTK.
I was going to say, it's who you work for. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the iHeartRadio stream is all completely censored.
Oh, is it really?
So everything else, yeah, iTunes, Spotify, it's like the uncensored version. And I think, you know, funnier, but it's also funnier with the bleeps and the bloops.
I like that. Yeah. The bleep. That's actually funny because, I don't know, you can listen to it with the family then in the car. Like, yeah. What is he saying, Daddy? Don't worry about it. It's cool.
Yeah, some of them,
something
it's like
ghosts.
Yeah, some of them it's like, oh, shit. So it's like, oh, boop, 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 boop. It's just like really, really fast and like nonsensical.
I get lazy. I just do one long, yeah, and then let people figure it out for themselves. You know, like, yeah. I'll just get rid of this entire sentence. Who needs it?
I actually got to sit in on an episode. And
Fort Fritz?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Did you get like tell a story or something?
It was great because, well, I wanted to see kind of how it was done and everything. Yeah. And it was funny because I was like,
it was episode 2 and I mentioned Death Claws and Etchy just gave me a a silent like, fuck yes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But no, it was funny because Fritz was the last one to get to his house. And so everybody showed up. But the funny thing is, like, I'd introduce myself, mm-hmm, and Kaz would say something. I'd be like, you're Kaz! Because based on his voice, you know. And then when Angela showed up, I was like, I'm going to memorize the real names. I did not, because I'm a regular listener. So she's Angela.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
She's always Angela.
Yeah. So she showed up. Like, I was like a little girl. You know what I mean? I was like, seeing One Direction or some shit.
Yeah, you fangirled out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was, you know, and then by the time we walked in the house, I was literally like, oh my God, I'm like a super fan that like, people are going to be like, this guy, let's get rid of this guy.
All right, kick him out the back door. Come on.
That's funny. But you got to see how the sausage was made.
That's exactly what I wanted to see. What was recorded? I mean, obviously, I'm not stupid. I know they didn't like hit a button for the effect at the time. Obviously, I know what's done in post.
Right.
But the whole idea.
You don't know.
you fully don't, though. Unless you're there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
What you were in that one.
But the process, it was fun to watch. It was awesome.
That's cool. Well,
thank you.
People listen to the Fort Fritz, listen to the Casual Shadows, and then check out Moon Men for Mars.
Yes.
Yes, that's your band.
Yeah, I have some video of that.
It's kind of like a Astro skate punk band, and I don't know how to skate.
I do have to say, but the opening, like before you guys even show up, you know,
yeah,
the old guy that's like making the saw noise, who is that?
That's Dan Reeves. He's our human slave, Punky Blumenfeld.
Human slave Punky Blumenfeld.
Yep, yeah. Yep. And we abducted him from Bucksnort, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he operates a grab and go up there.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Very specific.
It's
got to be a grab and go.
But yeah. He's great. I mean, you know, he makes really cool, creepy noises, and they even freak us out.
That's funny.
And that's just the thing. Like, I think, if I'm mistaken, this is quite a lot while ago. This was at our event.
Yes, the Stranded Sailor.
The May 5th. Yeah.
Yep.
Where, like, I think, wasn't there some music playing overhead also? Like, when I say music, yeah. I mean, like, a, you know, like, kind of more atmospheric,
like
kind
a
of
track
thing.
Sort of.
Yeah, like, yeah. To set the tone kind mm-hmm. of deal. And he was, like, rubbing, like, metal together and stuff like that. It gave this atmosphere that was just, it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It was almost, really cool, it was almost a cinematic atmosphere. And it's
terrifying.
It gives you that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary.
And yeah, before you guys even got on stage, I was like, this is going to be awesome. And
it's really weird.
Any plans, any shows on the horizon? Or?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know that we're working on albums for Moon Men from Mars and also Luscious Lisa.
Okay.
Luscious Lisa is nearing completion.
Very cool.
Hey-o.
I still have yet to hear Luscious
Lisa. Luscious Lisa was on Scotch and Good Conversation maybe a month ago,
yeah.
Maybe 6 weeks ago.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah, yeah, another excellent episode.
It was a great conversation. It was a great conversation.
Great, yeah, he does the quote and goods. That yeah. Like,
I love that.
Yeah,
I'm like, own the conversation. It's a good conversation, yeah, Pete.
It's fucking great.
You know Peter. He's like, no, I'm going to undersell everything I do.
He's got a great show.
No, he's a genius. I don't
your eye on him. He's going to do great things one day.
He's going places. You know the red suit that Viggo Mortensen wears in Captain Fantastic? Mm-hmm. Pete sold him that suit. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Through his...
What?
Through his vintage clothing
business.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they contacted him one day and they're like, we need this suit because it was the exact right dimensions for Viggo, and he sold it to him. So it's in like on the poster and everything.
Yeah.
When you see that red suit, that's
him.
Peter sold that shit.
That's awesome. The idea that it was a $100 suit and he was like $50,000.
He obviously did upsell them, yes. He made his money for sure. Yeah, but no, Pete's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Shout out to the Von Taborsk. So Moon Men from Mars, keep an eye out for it. It's fantastic, weird, wild music, and then you got the whole setup with the costumes and everything. Like you guys are talking about, it is a show. You don't just show up and karaoke out your music. It's like, no, this is for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. This was the one of a few podcasts that I had listened to that do story wise that made me go that when I came to you and we haven't done it yet, but I'm like, want a story podcast with Sound Divine.
I was saying that off mic, that we're working on something and it's gonna have like the production value or the on the level of a Fort Fritz, hopefully, you know.
You just gotta get the right people.
Yeah. Let me say this on mic. And I have no monetary kickback, you know,
sure.
Completely open. Podcastmusic.com, $10 a month, $9.99 per month. You get like unlimited downloads.
Oh, wow.
And you just type in, investigative.
Yeah.
And it's like 17,000 and you just hit play and it's like, and you're like, no shit.
So you get pay into some music.
I've got a library like and that then, and it does not sound nearly as good. I'm going to need you to remind me before I leave. Tell me the name of the company again because I'm going to do that.
Yeah, because we have a library already that we're using. Yeah.
Each file, it's like +11 and then you just click it and then it's like instrumental or just like only bass.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
Like boom, boom,
that could save us a lot of time, Steve, because you have that one program where we can like write music on the pad itself, which seems pretty intuitive. But I mean, if we can just get the music that's already done like
that. And I'm not completely musical, but well, here's the thing, the service that I do, like a lot of it, the music is quite good, like, you know, but it's, are there a lot of effects on that?
Effects, no, but
that's what I'm hurting for.
You get
A sound
get
library.
The audio licenses emailed to you immediately, so you that can always cool. keep those in your like legal files.
Well, that's good
files.
For music. We can just go out with a shotgun mic and like Foley style recorder room sound.
Oh yeah, especially yeah. since I got I got the mobile got, recorder. Yeah, I bought a H6.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah. That's very good for picking up.
Yeah, we've been using that for the food version shoot and stuff like that, so it's been working out. All right, so people, support the music and the podcast of Adam.
Yes.
You missed it.
Did you miss it, Adam?
Yeah, you missed it when we were...
You missed the beginning of the show.
The beginning of the show.
Right? You missed everything.
Inside joke.
We're I was going to say, because
talk about names and stuff. And
here's how agreeable I am. You went Adam, and I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. What? Yes.
Wait a minute. Excuse me?
Who is that? No, OG Adam. What was it? Death of Adam.
Death of Adam. The birth.
Birth of Jeff.
Birth of Jeff.
I was literally
just Jeff.
Cheers to Adam. What, who, wait, who? Wait,
who's that?
Adam Jeff.
It's our
Adam
new,
Jeff.
It's our new podcast, Adam and Alex.
Adam
we use our other names. That way it's anonymous. And then we also... It's anonymous, and then we also talk like this, so people don't know that it's really us.
We could be the three A's.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, Adam, and Alex. And we talk shit about people.
The Triple A
podcast. Say Wiki.
Sandwich Wiki. I guess at the concert. The fighting is now on your planet, Sam. Bumblebee. I'm actually looking forward to Bumblebee.
Looks good.
It looks good. It looks like what the Transformers movies should have been from the very beginning.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I did like
start
the first
with a small condensed.
I liked it too, but still, this one looks actually
start with a small condensed story.
It's smaller, but the designs also look throwbacky. Yeah. Soundwave. He's got the tape coming out of his. email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com for our new stickers, free stickers. Just email us your mailing address and we'll send them out. Also, you can hear our Halloween spoiler episode as well as other bonus episodes now at patreon.com/crespediso. And Steve, this is the part where I talk shit about another podcast. Who should I talk shit about this week, Steve?
Oh.
What's the fuss?
No. Actually,
shout out to What's the Fuss. I love those guys.
Yeah.
They're
you know
gentlemen
what?
And scholars.
Only because I can't think of anything, so I'm going to say 1K away because that's what my
you're drinking out of a 1K away koozie.
Because I got the koozie, yeah.
Hey, 1K away. Who do you think you are? Are you guys even listening? You're probably not listening.
No.
They don't know what's listening. But it's fine. No, they're nice guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know what, Ken? You should have stuck with Coco. No, Kiki. What was his name supposed to be? It was the Coco and Kiko show, or Kiki. And then he dropped his name. He's like, no, I'm going to Ken. And then Coco's like, well, no, I'm stuck with Coco.
They've both
been guests on the show.
I just remember the first time that I saw the name 1K away.
Yeah.
I was like, is that like a local deal? Because like they're like 1 kilometer away.
one click away.
No matter where you are, they're constantly 3.3 miles within your radius.
They are 1K away.
Nice guys. Listen to their show. Yeah, we're using their koozie here in studio. All right, guys. For a long time, we did Billy D's Death at the Movies, but then we had our big show accident where we lost everything. We lost our Vox Populi segment, Billy D intro. So I was like, Bill, this is a good chance to give us Death at the Movies 2.0. And you know what he did? He gave us a 2.0.
I love him.
Nice.
Check this out, guys.
He's a delightful human being.
He is a delight. Here we go.
There is only one God, and his name is Death. And there is only one thing we say to Death.
Sorry, Death, you lose.
Welcome to Billy D's Death at the Movies.
Death!
What is up, my dudes? I had a crazy couple weeks up here, went to Canada and had some good old-fashioned Halloween fun, went on a fall hike, visited a couple haunted houses, and had some of Toronto's best barbecue at Cherry Street Barbecue. I saw a couple pretty great movies, too. What Keeps You Alive? This is a thriller from the writer of Grave Encounters. This movie's great. Can't wait for it to get beyond the paywall for the rest of you. Julie and Jackie are visiting Jackie's family cabin in Ontario for their one-year anniversary, and things begin to unravel. This movie's written, acted, and shot so well. A must-see for fans of twisty thrillers. I went to the Alamo last night for easily one of the most anticipated films of the year for me, David Gordon Green's Halloween. I was in a weird place approaching this movie because the Halloween franchise in general is horribly uneven at best and mostly shit at worst. I love Carpenter's original film. That shit is iconic. Part 2, super enjoyable, and Part 3 is total insanity. After that, nothing really makes any sense and can fairly be described as trash. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy those movies, though. H2O is totally watchable, and if that would have been it, it would have been a fitting end to the Myers saga, but they couldn't just let it go. They made Halloween : Resurrection. And I do have a weak spot for the hilarious stupidity of Resurrection, because come on, it's so hilariously fucking stupid and a blast to watch. That brings us to the zombie era, with an additional two films that I think get unfairly shit on. They're not great, but like, still better than parts 4, 5, and 6. Now, after 40 years, someone said, I'm making a sequel to Halloween, and ignoring everything that came after Halloween, and it's pretty fucking good. There are things I didn't like about it, but overall, super happy with it. I didn't love the new Loomis stuff, but the payoff was amazing. I laughed so hard, triggering a ripple of nervous laughter around me. Curtis is a joy to watch as always. She's played Laurie so many different ways over the years that I think I like this version a lot. She had a lot of depth and brought 40 years of experience to the role, so fucking great job. So yeah, I liked Halloween. It's better than 7 other Halloween movies, at least, and makes for a fitting sequel to Carpenter's timeless original. Who'd have thought a film about babysitter murders would go on to spawn an entire industry of knockoffs and copycats? I'm glad Green and McBride brought the slasher back to the big screen. And don't forget to tune in to episode 1 of Up a Stream. I've got plenty of streaming picks for this Halloween, including ones from Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Shudder. Tons and tons of stuff. Be sure to check it out at pftmedia.com. And remember, you can follow me all over the internet at I Love Blood on Twitter, at I Love Blood on Instagram, and if you want to check out my photography, at Billy D Snaps on Instagram. Stay cool. I'm Billy D.
Here's the thing.
All right, that was awesome.
Good job, Bill.
Remember when you said, you know, because I went to New York. And you're like, oh, yeah. Contact Billy D, and I've got
to
tell you.
Oh, I don't know if you know, but I went to New York.
did you now?
Hold on. I have a bigger boast, actually, and I haven't even mentioned on this on any other podcast, but hold on a second.
Okay.
So, you know, I was only there for 3 days. Okay. And the thing is like, I have a friend in San Francisco. I was in San Francisco for a week. Now, granted, this was a family vacation.
Yeah, sure.
The San Francisco one was. Mm-hmm. The New York one was not.
Yeah.
So I contacted him. I was like, dude, I'm in San Francisco. He's like, oh, we got to meet up. And we never did because, you know, I was just so busy doing other stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You and were the there for an event. Yeah.
So the fact that I kind of learned, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I am here for like not even 3 complete days.
Yeah. Not pleasure, but for business.
No, actually it was pleasure.
But it was there for like I was there for a show. Yeah,
that was the first time I was ever at New York. I'm here to see shit and go everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to contact him because it'll be disappointing because I know we will not be able to meet up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it was just, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
My one up on New York, by the way, and you were like, oh, you were in New York. In February, I'm going
to. Just to be a purposeful dick.
yeah, absolutely.
Right.
In February, I'm going to China.
Wow.
No, really?
For 12 days, which I have to tell people on my various podcasts, like, hey,
we're going to have to figure out a way that
we're going to have to do a lot of backlogging.
A lot of pre-recording
to make sure that works. China. Yeah.
What the fuck is that for?
What are you going to China for?
It was cheap. It was a Groupon kind of thing. My sister called me. She's like, I found a Groupon kind of thing, you know? Yeah. She's like, we got to fly there. They pay for that. You know, she pays for that shit. But like, we're doing like a, you know, tour guide kind of thing that shows us all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like $2,000.
Okay.
Right? On the Groupon? $500. So she's like,
Jesus.
Yeah. She's like, I can't pass this shit up. We gotta go. And I was like,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind sitting on chicken crates for 12 hours, then yeah, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Hey, the chicken crates are nailed in.
They are nailed in. No, it's just you gotta.
It's super hard.
The pecking up that's a problem.
I was gonna say, that's just the thing. I'm gonna come back and like the next time, like
it's
date
good
a woman.
Plywood. Yeah. It's good plywood.
Yeah. Next time I date a woman that sees my butt, she'd be like, why are there chunks? I'll be like, look, it was China chickens. Chickity China, the Chinese chickens.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Look, you know, it was China.
Pick
you know,
your butt. Do all the picking.
That was in my past. All right, trying to move on.
I'm more worried about the future, not the past. The future.
Yes, I'm looking forward. Stop looking behind. I'm looking forward. At my behind, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, I'm going to be walking along the Great Wall and being like, "This is what our president wants."
This guy's going to China.
Yeah. Make sure you slap American podcasting stickers all over.
Yeah, they're going to love that. That'll go over great in China. The government loves vandalization.
It's funny you said that because when I went to San Francisco, I was like, "Dude, I'm going to like you know like plaster
stuff.
I'm going to plaster."
It's such a clean city. It's so clean. You're like, I can't do it.
I'm like looking around. I'm like, there's no stickers. And I am one of those people that I'm like, I would feel so bad.
Because
it looks so beautiful.
I
can't do it.
That's 100% correct. Good job, Steve. Your morals kicked in for a second.
Yeah.
Good job.
Except for the overlook. You know that overlook point where you see all of San Francisco?
Oh, there's already a bunch of graffiti there and stickers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I made pictures.
So you
remember
that?
I put all these stickers like on the telescope where you see down. Because honestly, nobody uses those telescopes.
So basically, you pay 75 cents and then you look out and it's just completely black because there's a sticker gobbling
right
up the camera.
Right on the lens.
It's like, what?
What did it say? Enema Crespo. That doesn't make any sense. Because you don't see part of it. Bill, thanks for the Billy D's 2.0. That was really cool. You produced it at home and added all that music. I agree with his assessment that Halloween 2018 is definitely better than seven other Halloween movies.
It's definitely the second best Halloween movie they made.
I would like to give a special thank you to Fritz for thinking that I might be there in New York on business. Thank you so much.
All his business happens within a 20-foot radius of his bedroom.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm jealous of that, actually.
It's gotta be pretty nice.
Especially we got the little puppies running around.
I hate it purely because I hate what I want deep down inside.
Yes,
that's how much I hate
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I'm like,
it's pure
good
jealousy.
For you, man. That's
pure
cool.
Jealousy.
That's cool.
You should see his studio.
You mean the one he uses at the real radio or at
no,
home?
For Fritz and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because he's got, you know, he got audio
you're
equipment.
You're
like,
an audio guy. I mean, that's what you do. Yeah.
He's a dark room.
He's got racks.
I'm sure it's amazing.
I've got one audio interface, right, instead of a mixer. And I was like, you know, somebody told me, they're like, why don't you get like a small box, like something that, you know, it's like four.
So you can rack it up.
For racks, you know, and I'm like, my only rack mountable thing is my audio interface. That is stupid.
The only other thing I have is for headphones. That's it.
Yeah, it's like I don't.
Your preamp.
I don't have hardware EQ. I don't
have that either.
Who do you think I am?
But I mean, you know what I mean, though. Like,
I'm a film critic. Come on, I'm barely able to like make sure this program is running properly as we're recording the show. So
no,
it's
a miracle when
it happens.
It sounds great. I'm not being the dick here.
It sounds great to us now. Just wait to hear the final recorded product. You're like, oh, what was that? It was sounding good in the studio.
And still, I'm like, hey, by the way, it is the end of the episode. I did not record one of the tracks. Let's do that again.
Because that happens.
That's a classic Steve trick right there.
Yeah.
To silence a descendant by...
Could you guys just say the same thing word for word and we'll pretend like it was the first time
we heard
it?
Let's pretend it never happened.
That's easy.
I'm a pro, baby. Let's get
half of our shows are done that way. Drew and I record half of our shows in separate rooms at separate times. Sometimes I record my half, then he has to listen and then fill in his half.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he records his half and I have to listen to fill in my half.
Still, though, way better than Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Infinitely.
Dude.
Tons better.
Absolutely.
Movie news. Some quick movie news stories here, guys. Michael B. Jordan. I alluded to this. So we have Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Krasinski is current Jack Ryan now.
If you watch the
Amazons. Mm-hmm. But they are doing a movie based on... Was that right about that character? John Clark? Yep, they're doing a John Clark movie. So he's a CIA op himself action type of guy. We're adding on to that. Yeah, I think it's John Clark. We're adding on to that now for Michael B. Jordan. Another character. Known as the Silver Bear, which will be the name.
Bear.
The Silver Bear. That'll be the name of the title of the movie.
That is a very old bear.
Very old bear, yes.
I was about to say, there are going to be some elderly gay men that are disappointed with this movie.
The AARP Bear.
Silver Bear alert. Like, if any kind of, you know, elderly boyfriend
is missing. Yeah, we got a...
it's a silver fox that's much bigger.
Foxes. There you go. Yes. So what if Anderson Cooper gained some weight? What if Anderson Cooper ate a pizza?
He would still be sexy.
He would be irresistible.
He'd still be so handsome. So handsome.
You ate a whole pizza.
Hmm. So here we go. Silver Bear is he's gonna play an assassin in this movie. An assassin compared to a John Wick level assassin, where he's just like the unstoppable killing machine.
Baba Yaga.
He's like a Baba Yaga type. But in this movie, he played a character named Columbus, and Columbus is a hitman who was so good that the Russian criminals
that
give him the name.
That he wiped
Silver
out
Bear.
All the Indians.
Yeah, he committed mass genocide.
That he found America.
He was so cool. He was so genocidal.
And then what happens this movie, he gets his target, and this target is the United States Speaker of the House, who is running for president. The problem is that politician is his father. Dun, dun.
But wait, kill your pappy.
Kill your pappy.
Who was his son? It's like a riddle. Wait a minute. Hold on. Go over that again.
You know what I kind of like? And then you went further. I know that sounds bad. But I like the idea of like, what if he went to tried to kill the Speaker of the House, but he wasn't running for president. Like, there's something to be said about trying to assassinate somebody that, you know, when you go, he's trying to assassinate the president. Mm-hmm. Like, that goes all the time. But if
he's trying to assassinate the second Congress seat.
But if he was trying to go towards the Speaker of the House, it had nothing to do with the presidency, then you could do, the people would immediately go, oh my God, this has got to be deeper. This has got to be, you know what I'm saying? Because it's different. You're assassinating somebody smaller, not much smaller, but still, it kind of makes you think there'd be a depth to it.
Yeah. So like, okay, if the president was not, that is a beautiful line of thought. So if the president dies, vice president, right? And then after him is what's
Speaker of the House.
And then it's a
majority whip
pro tempore or something like that. Yeah. So like, imagine if like someone was like right underneath like pro tempore.
You mean the designated survivor?
Yeah. What if there was a move? What if there was a movie that they were literally trying to assassinate? Just like I don't even know who. Would there be a Republican or Democrat or whoever? It doesn't matter. There's a more nefarious reason, but he's going after somebody in Congress, somebody lower, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then you kind of know when you see that, you go, oh, there's got to be some kind of nefarious, interesting thing that goes beyond. Because otherwise, most movies will go, it's the president.
Yeah.
The whole time it was just the president.
It's got to be darker, the fact that it's not the president.
Well, this is literally all the information we have at the moment about the Silver Bear and Columbus the Hitman and all that. So maybe it will be a little deeper or something. Or maybe it'll just be so simple as, oh, he's running for president. We don't want this guy being president.
Yeah, and it turns out the bear, like, it's literally just a Roosevelt reference.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Teddy or?
I'm fine with that. Teddy, yeah. Better be. Oh, yeah, the old FDR teddy bears.
Yeah,
they came in wheelchairs.
He resorts to
terror. A long cigarette in a wheelchair.
The long cigarette holder.
He resorts to terrorism and literally just like blows up every Build-A-Bear in the country.
Yeah, exactly. And they all have the pull string for the voice box, and it's all Bill Murray.
I'm gonna die.
Wow.
So Hobbs and Shaw is the Fast and Furious spinoff movie starring The Rock and Jason Statham. But they're being sued. Universal's being sued by one of the producers of the Fast and Furious franchise. Because Neil Moritz, he's the producer, is saying that he is being strong-armed out of an oral agreement that he had with Universal on the spinoff movie, and they're trying to downgrade his level of involvement so they can pay him less.
The fact that you say oral makes me think there's no way he's gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, an oral agreement is bullshit. But, unless it was recorded.
Well, here's the thing, though. But they have a long-standing history. He's been working on these movies since the very first one.
That's a strong part,
So there's precedent for their working relationship. And now, all of a sudden, for the spinoff movie, that's still very much a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
The deal is being changed. He has a pay-or-play deal where he can work on these movies, the Fast and Furious films, and no matter the work that he does, if it's used or not, he gets paid the same amount. So now they're trying to like scrub that and make it a different deal.
How much money has that franchise pulled in? Oh, it's got to be ridiculous, right?
Overall,
All the movies together, eight movies together.
Drew opens his laptop.
BoxOfficeMojo.com would say it'll say a total, at least a domestic total. I think domestically it's made, I would put it at $2 billion foreign worldwide. $4.55 billion?
I think the Pirates franchise is number one, right? With most money raised.
Unless you count, which some people do, the Marvel Cinematic Universe as one franchise. That's 20 movies at this point, you know? It's just so many movies.
Yeah.
And then a handful of them, the Avengers ones and the Captain America ones are like some of the, and Iron Man 3 are some of the highest grossing films of all time. So, but it's just like the Harry Potter ones, the last few got close to $1 billion. The last one made $1 billion, and there's 8 of them. So that's an argument for, I think I talked about this once on a corporate time. We actually brought up what could have been the highest grossing franchise. But then how do you argue maybe a James Bond franchise? Could you argue, right? That's like 24, 25 movies, but only the last
couple
of ones. That's
almost cheating because of how many you have.
And how many they've been around, right? Since the 60s.
They could have like three duds and still...
And they do have duds. In there, but then they have
a
like
few. They've got dozens of few.
I was gonna say, I'm sure they have more, but I just gave three as an example. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, so that's kind of unfair because
yeah,
not all of them did
sure.
well.
Exactly. Sure.
The whole franchise 3.9 billion worldwide.
Jesus.
Wow. So I nailed it. 4 billion worldwide. No. There you go.
For who?
Fast and Furious.
Okay.
The whole franchise.
8 movies. Yeah. $4 billion worldwide.
How does that sit with other franchises?
It's got to be up there. I mean, that has to be great. I would imagine.
That's four big.
Yeah. You know what? There's a reason why they're making a Hobbs and Shaw movie. There's a reason why they're making Fast and Furious 9 and 10. Because even after Paul Walker and all that stuff, because they're like, these things bank.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, a lot of it is a tribute to Vin Diesel's prowess as a producer and his ability to put international stars in his new international elements that then make these movies worldwide hits and not just domestic hits, you know?
The same thing can be seen in the fact that he did I Am Groot in like 26 languages.
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? And also XXX. The third one.
Jesus. I only saw the first one, but it was terrible.
Oh, the third one was so crazy and off the balls bonkers.
It's good. Bonkers. Oh, no, it's terrible.
Oh. Yeah.
It's off the balls bonkers for sure.
Yeah. Off the balls bonkers. Yeah. I'm totally stealing it.
By all means.
Talk shit about me later, bitches, but I'm taking that one.
It makes me sad.
No, please do. Off the balls bonkers is what it is.
Oh, God.
But
yes.
Whenever anybody uses the term bonkers, it makes me sad. You know why?
Why?
Because
I hate myself.
In the early 90s, it may have even been
he hates joy.
It may have even been late 80s. Do you guys remember bonkers?
And they were
delicious, and they're gone.
They're gone.
There's bonkers? No candy that
is that a candy
replaces it. Yeah. Bonkers. It looked like gum, but it was chewy.
But it was not gum.
It was like taffy.
Or it was
like taffy, but easier to.
It was like a Tootsie Roll, but not chocolate flavored.
It was easier to eat than taffy. It was very pliable.
It was like a caramel kind of.
Interesting.
Oh, it was so good.
I remember it.
It was fruit flavors and stuff like that. It was amazing.
Yeah, I remember them.
Okay, let's finish with this last movie news story here.
I'm thinking of cowtails. Cowtails.
I love oxtails. So soup. Disney is remaking their animated films, right?
Live action.
Cinderella was, yes, into live action. Cinderella was a huge hit. Beauty and the Beast was an even bigger hit.
Have you seen the trailer for Aladdin?
I have not watched it yet because I'm just waiting to see it on. I'm waiting to see it on the big screen.
Beauty and the Beast. The only
Guy Ritchie's Aladdin. Do not forget, Guy Ritchie's Aladdin.
I'm totally cool with that.
I feel like you know what exactly what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast, the first animated film to ever get Best Picture.
A Best Picture nomination.
No.
Nomination. It didn't win.
It did not win.
I thought it won.
No. But it was nominated, though, for Best Picture. First.
Well, now I feel like I'm not...
But it's still a huge thing.
I was just going to say this. Walt Disney, born in Chicago, and he now owns Cinderella, which is like a 500-year-old Mexican folklore. Sleeping Beauty, which is like a... What, like Nordic? Like
It's Eastern European.
It's ridiculous. And Aladdin, it's just absolutely crazy that our copyright laws allow us to go, well, I'm going to rewrite this and then totally take it over.
And now own it, even though it is a centuries old story.
And now it's Disney.
Yeah. And then
they got the
copyright laws rewritten so that then stuff takes even longer to fall into the public.
I was
going to
say, that's really the bad part because honestly, if you make a movie, it's totally fine to make a movie based on something that's thousands of years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally the definition of no copyright.
That's why I have a biblical Samson script sitting in a drawer, because no one can stop me from making that. You know?
Yeah, but they own Cinderella now.
Yeah.
That's why I say that's the fucked up part.
They own a version of it.
Is because, but I mean, if you try to make a Cinderella movie, you're going to get buried.
Well, they own the Jungle Book.
Yes.
But they don't own the Jungle Book.
Right.
You know,
yeah, but
so
they do. They
you can make a Jungle Book movie, but you can't have Baloo singing Burn.
No, but then it's not the Jungle Book.
I bet you they'll try to sue anyway, and they will probably win.
Well, it's coming out on Netflix. The Jungle Book movie is coming out.
I loved that movie.
It's called Mowgli. It's called Mowgli, and it's Andy Serkis, and it's his live action.
Gollum, motion capture
version. I'm sorry?
That was Gollum?
Yes.
I thought it was already on Netflix. The one
that's the Disney Jungle Book. live action that they did.
Oh, live action. I'm thinking of the
one. There's another one. Wait. There's another one coming out called Mowgli that's based on the Rudyard Kipling novel. Right. That all the songs are gone. All the Disneyfication of it is gone, but it is still the Jungle Book.
Well, I'm thinking of the live action one with the, you know, like it came out.
The one that came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That one's on
Netflix, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Netflix purchased the rights to the Andy Serkis one that instead of coming out in theaters will now come out on Netflix next year, I think, 2019. So, Disney is doing all these remakes, live-action remakes, and apparently one of the writers of the original Aladdin, the animated one, is kind of blasting Disney because people are like, oh, don't you think this is awesome that your movie is being remade? Like, you must be, you know, getting money off this. It's like, nope, even though they are reusing, like, our dialogue and our ideas, for some reason, because of the way the Screenwriters Guild, the rules have been written, an animated movie, if you remake an animated movie, you don't have to pay the writers of the original script.
Oh. Really?
Yes. Yeah, so you could take the original Aladdin script, not change a thing, and then make a live action version, and then not pay those
and
writers.
And you're fine. Wow. You're fine.
So the writers are throwing a lot of shade at Disney.
I love learning about like loopholes that. You know?
Huge loopholes. Were now, so these people should be getting
because
paid
it's interesting.
At least scale wages for their work being reused, but they're not.
Well, you know, Disney also was, they were instrumental in rotoscoping, you know, like filming people dancing and then reusing that animation and, you know, tracing it.
Yes.
There's so many instances of like the same, like, loop animation, you know, from Snow White
one of which was, Robin Hood, because I've seen the videos and stuff, you know, not only that, when I was a kid, noticed.
Yeah.
But I thought, it's a coincidence, because I was a kid and whatever.
Yeah.
But one of them was the dance that the chicken woman did in, Robin Hood, like during the dance scene or whatever, where they did it like three or four different times. I think one of them was actually Baloo. That then the chicken woman did the same dance.
Because why not?
Because
if you have that resources
It's cheaper.
Well, there
and
you
it's
go.
All about trying to cut corners and make them dollars.
Yeah. So someone drew that back in 1963, and now it's 1988,
and it's still
the same. And they're not being credited.
And they're not being repaid or compensated. That is 100% correct. That's just the way it is. All right, guys, let's wrap this one up here with a game. We're gonna play a game just like we did last week.
Yay!
We're gonna do a would you rather. I have a few would you rathers. So the way this is gonna be done, I'll give you guys a couple minutes. First, I'll give you the scenario, and then you can ask me any question to figure out what you would rather do, and I encourage you asking questions because you're going to find out some interesting stuff about these scenarios. And then I will say no more questions, and then you have to tell me what your answer is, and then I will score you arbitrarily based on my whims. Drew, I have Drew here. A, B, C. Which one do you want? A, B, or C?
C.
All right, C. Guys, you rather be turned into three kids stacked on top of each other under a trench coat? Or would you rather pass out for 10 minutes every time you hear a Drake song? Questions are open. Here we go. You have about 2 minutes to ask me questions.
So if I do become the three children, do we have a hive mind or am I three separate individuals?
Yes, you have a hive mind. So you often are talking about we are doing this and we need to do that, and et cetera. So it makes you seem insane.
Seems like an
Is
it any Drake song?
And any Drake song will make you pass out for 10 minutes. That is correct.
That can be very dangerous depending on where you are.
Yes.
Well, see, that's just it. I already have an answer because I stay at home and I don't listen to Drake.
but you'd be surprised, though.
So, on your last trip to New York, would you have been okay with passing out in the middle of one of the streets for 10 minutes?
Because you're in Times Square and they're just blasting Drake.
That's true. I have no idea because I don't know Drake songs.
Exactly. So many. They're so popular.
Is this a nondescript trench coat or is it something very,
It's the traditional big brown? Like, raincoat trench coat. Yes, with the fedora.
With the fedora.
With pockets or no pockets?
Pockets.
Is the top kid hot?
No.
Ooh.
No, top kid looks like the kid version of you. It's a kid version of you. Yeah. They're all three are the kid versions of you.
Okay, I was
turned into triplets. So.
Yeah.
I have one more question. Are the arms the middle kid?
Arms are the top kid. Middle kid is the torso, and bottom kid is the legs.
Middle kid is just support.
Yes, middle kid supports give you the 6 feet of height you need.
Well, that's going to look odd. All right, I have my answer.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so now me personally, because I've become all three of them, do I feel all of their pain at once, or am I just like feeling only one of the bodies?
You're only feeling one of the bodies. So you're
which
you're,
one?
You're the top body. Okay. Top body, the okay. one that's speaking in, but you're a hive mind, but if the bottom one stubs its toe, top one doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
Bottom one feels it though.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure that like I'm not the one in the middle. Okay. That's all. Because that would be a shitty way to go throughout life.
Right. Interesting. So any more questions?
Okay.
Do I have gloves? As the three kids.
As the three kids, you have gloves.
I mean, you can go buy gloves. You're just three kids. I mean, you can go buy gloves, whatever.
Up to you. You can wear gloves if you want. You don't have to. The hat and the jacket remain the same. All your other clothing accessories can change.
I have one more question. Do I have time?
Yes.
Okay. If I meet Drake and he talks to me, do I pass out?
No. Oh, but if he sings to you, yes.
Okay.
Okay, and also, it's 10 Earth minutes, or...
Yes. 10 flat Earth minutes.
Oh,
time
right.
is completely relative in the way we know it now.
So,
doesn't even matter what time zone you're in.
The trench coat, at any point in time, can we not be the man in the trench coat?
No.
Could we just be three kids?
No, you always have to have the trench coat.
Come on, Drewster. You're always three kids in a trench coat.
We're always sleeping as three kids in the trench coat.
Showering, sleeping.
Forever.
In the pool, playing video games.
Forever.
Okay,
forever.
Gotcha. So it's almost like we're fused together.
That's who you are.
And you can never change your clothes, ever.
No more questions.
Okay.
No more questions.
Okay.
Here we go.
But, okay.
No more questions.
Okay.
That's it.
Trying to ask a goddamn question. Okay. When I say no more questions, you ask a question, you take away points.
Okay. And there's only one point.
No, it's up to me to decide the points.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go. Let me write down so I can actually have a place for you. Okay, Drew, what is your answer? Would you rather be turned into three kids stuck up on top of each other under a trench coat or pass out for 10 minutes every time you hear it?
Pass out for 10 minutes every time I hear it.
Interesting. Why?
Because I'm going to pop my eardrums immediately afterwards so I can't hear anything.
So everything's just.
No. I hear nothing forever.
ASL. Just
hear, I become deaf.
Yeah, ASL.
You would rather make yourself deaf.
I do that and become deaf. Well, because the reason,
not going to be popular forever.
Well, here's the thing, though, Chris. If you're the three kids and we can't come undone, that means that middle one's going to be taking some really weird shits. And so is the top one because I can't get down from anybody's shoulders.
I guess so. Everybody's going to have a dirty back.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun
at all.
Right, so I choose that one and then pop my ears.
So you choose Drake songs. Okay, yeah. Steve.
I'm going to choose Drake songs too, but I will say if there is one advantage to having the three kid thing, I would love to get a woman of the night and be like, hey, give me head, and then have the bottom guy poke his head out.
Oh, my God. Okay. Good to know. Good to know Steve is all about the hooker puns.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, what's your answer?
I'm going to be the three kids in the trench coat.
Oh,
I'm going to commit to it because... if I pass out for 10 minutes on air,
that's going to make for some weird summer vacations.
Yeah.
That's
number
very
one,
true.
I'm going to get fired. And then number two, for the rest of my life, I mean, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no. No, Drake will be around for the rest of our lives.
Okay, yeah. Well, then in that case, with those answers, I'm going to have to say, Jeff, you're correct. You're getting plus 1 point there for the proper answer. It is better to be three kids than to pass out whenever you hear a Drake song. Guys, that's why I encourage you to always ask questions. In this scenario, every song in the world is a Drake song. So, so at all times, it's Drake all the time.
So you just passed
you'd
out.
You'd be rambling your way through.
So I won. I popped my eardrums.
Yeah, but is that really winning, though?
Yes.
Yourself?
Yes, it is.
I think he would envy the living.
Yeah. I'm going to give Jeff 1 point. Drew, you'll just stay even here for your solution to the problem. And Steve Etchie, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to get negative 10.
Sorry, Steve.
But since then you are now in last place, you get to choose remaining two. Ooh. A or B. This will be our final one. Do you want A or
God.
B?
Okay, I'm going to do B.
Okay, B. Guys,
damn it.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito to the death or... walk backwards for the rest of your life? Open for questions.
How big is said mosquito?
The size of a small bumblebee, Volkswagen bumblebee.
Wow.
It's the size of a car.
Like an 1,800-pound mosquito.
Yes.
Okay. Jeez. But it's still an insect, though. It's just a larger insect.
Yeah, but due to its size, it can't fly, so it's like walking.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Okay. No,
I know the answer to this.
You already know the answer. Yeah. I'm not even asking any questions. See,
okay, so we still have a minute and a half here. Do I have access to weaponry? Is this a barehanded fight?
You have
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. You have the brass knucks.
Okay. So nothing.
You have brass knucks. Oh, you have series of weapons. Series of weapons.
Let the man finish.
You have brass knucks. You have nunchucks. And you have small like flashbangs.
Okay. Is it still hungry or is it full of blood?
Constantly hungry.
Oh, damn it!
Because it's so big.
It processes metabolism.
Blood. Yeah. Okay. And the thing is, its needle nose is so big that it when it stabs you, it kills you, and it sucks out your blood and leaves you like a husk.
Okay.
Yes.
And all I have is brass knuckles and nunchucks and flashbangs. That's it. Those are the three things.
Those are your three things. Yes. Not a single question yet about the second scenario. Walking backwards for the rest of your life.
I don't know that there's any answers for that.
In this universe, is backwards forwards?
No, backwards is decidedly backwards. Everyone else is walking forwards, but the only way you can maintain your equilibrium is by walking backwards, looking over your shoulder.
So in this scenario, how big am I? Like, am I as big as a redwood tree?
Battling the mosquito scenario?
Let's say both, if we can.
In both scenarios, you are the height you are now.
Can I adapt to the point where I get so used to going backwards that I can actually run backwards fast as people can run forwards?
Good question. I don't know. Can you?
If it's real, I mean, just like right just now, like if it, you spent the next month walking backwards, you'd get better at it. So yeah, you would get better at just backwards like movement. Yeah, absolutely. You would get better.
So your arms are the only thing that's...
Yeah.
If I'm walking backwards, am I allowed to invent some sort of rig that I wear, like a pair of glasses, to make me see backwards so I don't have to keep a crick in my neck?
Those spy glasses with the mirrors on the side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw this on the way here. Okay. I meant to mention this because I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. On the way here, I saw for the first time in years one of those bikers. Like bicycles, you know, that had a helmet that had one of those rear view mirrors that looks like a dental tool.
Nerd is what you're.
So you guys,
pretty much.
You could nerd it up and rig up something like that.
Yeah. I mean, is anything else backwards in this world or just my walking?
Time goes backwards.
Oh, damn it.
Time goes backwards.
You can Benjamin Button.
Yeah, you're born old, die young.
That's why you have to walk backwards.
You're walking backwards because then things make sense to you.
Right.
Yeah, but everything else is still going forward.
And everyone else is dying quicker.
Yeah. Things are still decomposing in the normal fashion.
I mean, but I sit down normal. Like, instead of sitting down here talking to you like this, I don't have to be, you know, facing you backwards.
Oh, my God. You almost knocked everything over. No, when you sit down on a chair, then you can face me. Yeah. But I'm just talking about your ambulations.
Okay.
Your walkings, your runnings, when your movement with your legs results in backwards movement.
I feel like I could develop a stand-up act based on that.
Every time you stop moving, does time then multiply? Like, does it increase? Or
every time you stop moving, no, you're allowed to stop moving. It's perfectly fine. Because it's like a normal thing.
And
like,
then you can make eggs?
What if you got to take a shit? Yeah, or you got to make breakfast. You walk into the kitchen backwards, but then you get to the stove.
And then you can turn around and make breakfast.
But then when you got to get to the fridge, you got to turn around and walk backwards to the fridge. Open up the fridge, put the eggs back. That's correct. No more questions.
Okay.
Damn it. I had one more.
Okay, here we go. Would you guys rather fight a giant mosquito to the death or walk backwards for the rest of your life? Jeff, what do you want to do?
I'm going to fight the mosquito. Fuck it. I don't have a chance in hell, but, you know, I'm going to try to communicate with it the entire time, and if it disagrees with me, flashbang, and then I'm like, okay, improvise. Okay. Yes, and. Then, you know what? I'm going to try.
You're going to try to fight your way through that thing.
If I can't befriend the thing, another flashbang, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to have to get on its neck and just try to choke it out.
There you go.
With the nunchucks.
Okay, Steve, what's your answer?
I'm going to do mosquito too because I don't expect to win, but if I did, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, are people watching this so that I could actually brag about it?
It's a spectator sport. It's in the middle of a coliseum.
Okay, good. All right. So yeah, so I would do that so that if I lost, people
that
would
also
go,
counts as a question after the fact. So that's another negative 10 points. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, so you know, if I were to fight him or whatever and lost, like it'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I would rather die than walk backwards the rest of my life. And if I won, pussy every day.
Because of fighting the mosquito.
From winning.
The mosquito gladiator groupies.
Yeah, it would be like, what do you call that? Like the tiger punch, you know, from
tiger
Street
punch.
Fighters 2. And like blood.
Tiger uppercut.
Yeah, yes, that's what it was. And like it would explode. And blood would go everywhere from its sack. Okay. And people would be like, I want to fuck that guy.
I want to sleep with that man covered in mosquito blood.
And then silence, and then
game over. Drew, what's your answer?
I'm walking backwards.
Drew's walking backwards. Interesting. Why is that, sir?
I'm lazy, and I don't want to fight a giant mosquito with nunchucks.
But it's for the
brass
rest
knuckles.
Of your life. The fight is one fight. If you win, it's over with.
And if I lose, I'm dead.
But if you walk backwards, it's for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it. Mm-hmm. Those are your answers.
I'd rather end a good life than live a shitty one.
All right, guys. Well, I got
it. Is subjective.
I gotta say, the correct answer is walk backwards for the rest of your life.
Damn it!
Because I mean, the mosquito. It's the same mosquito. He's undefeated. No one has ever beaten it. It's like the Hercules of mosquitoes. So you guys have no chance in hell. You will lose. So, there are no groupies, Steve.
But that's what I expect.
I know, but there's no groupies.
Permission to ask one question.
It's a risk you're going to have to take.
Yes.
You want to take the risk of asking the question? Ask a question. You can. It's a risk you have to take, though, whether or not you get dinged around. Okay, go ahead. What's the question? The question's yes?
Permission to ask one question. What's the question?
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay, okay. I'll see how I calculate that here. Okay, all right.
Okay. Still minus one.
The thing with walking, we did get into this. You can get good at walking backwards. At a certain point, it's just your normal ambulation. You got the glasses with the mirrors. You can see behind you.
And it's fine.
Time is going backwards, so you're getting younger, but you're getting... It's great, man. Actually, it's a fantastic scenario. Jusakog, when you're correct, you get plus... 2 points. Mm. Steve, you already had the minus 10 plus another minus 5 for assuming that there will be groupies. Jeff, I'm going to give you then for asking me another question, even for permission, minus 1. But another plus 1 for your reasoning, which then brings you back to plus 1. Which makes Trusacogra the winner at plus 2. Well done.
I was beaten by the best.
Plus 2. Well,
this shit is rigged.
That was a close one. That was a close
one. I was beaten
by
the best.
You guys did good. But all right, there you go. Let's wrap this thing up. Trusacogra, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Chris.
Steve, thank you for finally making it. You almost did it.
I know.
Those damn alarm clocks. Yeah, they're so tricky with the AM and the PM.
AM, PM bullshit.
Antimeridian, postmeridian.
Yeah.
Jeff. That was wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I mean,
we had a wonderful time.
Any fucking time, you know?
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back. We'll have to do have you and the Pink Man himself, yes. Mr. Fallon, here both at the same time. That'll be a lot of fun as well.
Do a mashup.
Yeah, we'll definitely figure out a whole new game to play then. Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you pay monies for our Patreon so I can get a new computer.
Oh my god, he needs one so bad.
So bad.
Oh lord, we've been here for 8 hours trying to record the show. And then, yes, that's it.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
A PFT Media production.